98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
The top stories of the day presented for you here on the 4 o'clock reset. Our reaction to the top stories of the day, starting with Bryce Harper making his return to Washington, D.C. after those 7 years that he gave them.
I mean, it's baseball. You know, it's part of the game. It's part of sports. I hope I get a great one. Of course, I think there'll be some boos and things like that, but, you know, it's part of the game, and, I think I'll get some cheers as well, and, like I said, you know, I'll always remember the memories we had here and the excitement and things like that and all the screams and the cheers, I'll always remember that.
He did put out a nice Instagram post to the city.
Yeah, it was very late. I mean, now, seems like it was late. Like, you should have done it right away. Immediately. Maybe like a month.
Like, what, 3 weeks ago when he signed with the Phillies?
Yeah,
it's not like he's been a Philly very long either.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, all eyes will be on him tonight. Not a lot of great moments with him with the Nationals. So winning the home run derby, right? Probably the biggest moment. I mean, it didn't go very far in the playoffs. They were always a disappointment.
Took him to the playoffs a couple of times. But, yeah it was mostly, he mostly left you wanting more during his time with the Nationals. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Christian Walker, a couple more hits last night, including a double. Troy Lovello telling us earlier today, Walker's play is absolutely making it tough on me to fill out that lineup card.
He's here to stay now. He knows that he's made the team and he's going to be counted on, and he's in a little bit better space. So we love what we've seen out of Christian Walker. He deserves these opportunities, but he's swinging the bat extremely well. And yes, I have some difficult decisions to make as a manager. And Christian Walker is finding his way into the playing time against left-handed pitching, and he deserves that.
Six hits in 11 at-bats, four of them extra bases. Two homers, two doubles, four extra base hits, slugging percentages through the roof.
Not exactly sure what Chory is supposed to do.
Just
at
keep
this
playing
point.
Him.
Keep playing him until he gives you a reason not to play him. I haven't seen the lineup yet. Oh, there it is. The lineup for tonight's game, and he's batting fifth at first base. They're playing a lefty tonight,
but
in the San Diego Padres.
Murphy back with Zach Greinke.
John Ryan Murphy is indeed back with Zach Greinke tonight. Jones, Escobar, Flores, Peralta, Walker, Marte, Ahmed, Murphy, Greinke. Your lineup tonight, game two of the 3-game series against the San Diego Padres. The AAF has folded, ceases operations after their giant savior investor who stepped in and wrote a $250 million check to keep the league afloat, says that he's shutting it down. Steve Spurrier, the head coach of the Orlando Apollos.
We're all disappointed, but on the other side, we got to be the champs, right? We're 7-1, and the next teams are 5-3. So some of us didn't get into the alliance to try to advance our careers, but the players, I'm more disappointed for all the players that believe this is, you know, my chance to show people and this, that, and the other that I can play this game. And a lot of them will get opportunities.
They're the champs, I guess.
This stuff doesn't work. Can we just stop with this all, everybody trying to create a new football league? It doesn't work. It's been tried a dozen times. It doesn't work. There are only two games left, but this guy who invested all of his money, he was $10 million a week is what it was costing him, $10 million a week. But there were two games left and in the playoffs and everything. They didn't want to. There were a lot of hope that if they could just get through the season, then they could get new investors during the offseason and then start back up again, and maybe they'd be able to make it. But he didn't let them get through those last couple of games because it was going to cost them, $10 million each week.
Yeah, and Bill Polian, one of the co-founders of the league, very upset that the investor pulled the plug when he did. Rick Tocchet, big game tonight for the Coyotes. Three games left. 2 points behind the Colorado Avalanche for the last playoff spot. Tonight, the Coyotes have the Kings.
Yeah, I think there's always urgency. You got to be careful. You know, I don't want these guys, it's 1-0 after the first and we're squeezing our sticks. We got to make sure that we just stay with it. You know, keep doing the right things and, good things will happen. That's the attitude we have to have. You can't worry about anything else. Can't worry about who's playing who or what. You can only worry about the first period against the LA Kings.
You know, you would think normally, it's a trap game, but the Kings are awful. I got slaughtered last night, 7-2. Those guys are waiting, ready to go on vacation. And at least with Edmonton, who's playing Colorado, there's Connor McDavid, who plays with a lot of heart and a lot of pride. Guy's got 115 points. I mean, if he gets hot, gets a couple of goals, Edmonton might be able to, steal 2 points. I mean, even though they got eliminated last night, there's still Connor McDavid for Edmonton. Both Edmonton and Colorado played last night. They play tonight. Colorado wins all three, it's over. If the Coyotes win all three and Colorado wins two out of three, then the Coyotes are going to get to go.
Yeah, I don't think there's any such thing as a trap game when you've got three games left on the season and you have to win every single one of them to try to make the playoffs for the first time in 2012. I don't think you can define any game as a trap game when you're in that situation.
No, but this is the kind of gimme. This is the one like you...
Oh, it's the cupcake.
Like, if you lose to the Kings tonight... You can't lose that game.
But our top story of the day, the interest by the Oakland Raiders in Kyler Murray. You say that it is real.
Yeah, it's legitimate. They like Murray. They like Murray. They even would be willing to move up to number one to try to get him, at least have conversations about it. They are enamored with Kyler Murray. It's for a while there, I thought it was Nick Bosa. Because in the beginning it was they needed a pass rusher, but they've got a chance to spend some time with Murray, and all the word I'm getting out of it is yes, they do like Kyler Murray enough. Can they get the number one pick from the Cardinals? I don't know. I mean, that's the one thing I don't know yet, but are they enamored with Kyler Murray to where they would look to trade up to number one to get him? Yes.
They're not getting him at four. It's almost impossible to think they could just sit where they are and still get Kyler Murray. Either the Cardinals take him at one, somebody moves up to get him, somebody moves up to three to the Jets spot to get him. I just don't think they can sit there at four where they are. It's fascinating because the Raiders have three first-round picks and a very high second. They have a lot of inventory. Sam Mays is a talk show host in Oklahoma City. We've had him on our station many, many times, especially in and around the pro day for Kyler Murray. And he said the private workout between the Raiders and Murray went well. Very, very well.
Apparently his whiteboard time went about an hour and a half over what they thought it was going to. So his workout started late yesterday, but he did exactly what he always does and absolutely wowed everybody with the velocity, the whole nine yards. The kid is just the real deal. But I'm kind of really interested in knowing how that whiteboard went. Is it an hour and a half long because Gruden was just enamored with him, or was it an hour and a half long because Gruden just wasn't getting what he wanted from him, from everything that this was the narrative coming into the combine this year. How is Kyler Murray on the whiteboard? How he is he?
Even used a word to describe Gruden when it comes to Kyler Murray.
John Gruden's the most passionate coach in the game. He loves it. At every single level, I think he got giddy with Kyler Murray and sat there and just chatted it up for an extra hour and a half.
Giddy. Now, the problem with John Gruden getting giddy...
He gets giddy over a lot of guys?
Well, he gets giddy over a lot of guys. He changes his minds about quarterbacks a lot of times. But most importantly, there's a limit on how giddy John Gruden can get. The Arizona Cardinals still control this process.
And no matter how much you want him,
yep.
If the Cardinals want him, you can't get him.
Nope. There's nothing you can do about it.
No.
Now, we talked earlier about the cost of the Cardinals' love for Kyler Murray, if there even is such a thing. Do they love Kyler Murray? We don't know. But do they love him, but only if the Raiders are willing to give up X number of picks to get him, and then they don't love him so much anymore? I'd be curious to see the price of love is.
Look, on most, what's the price of love? Yeah. I joke around with my wife. Honey, there's no price. I would never sell you. I would never. I joke around with her like, this.
You would sell.
That movie with Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson?
Indecent Proposal?
Whatever that
you
was.
You went Indecent Proposal with your wife?
No, I just say there's no amount of money that would ever allow me to lose you. I always tell her that just so she feels good.
Yeah. Can we change the subject?
Throw it in reverse real quick, Gamble.
I'm incredibly uncomfortable.
Throw it in reverse, baby.
You said there's no amount and there's no cost for love. I'm just trying to explain it the right way.
Abort, abort, please abort, don't. Eject, eject, eject.
I didn't explain that very well.
No, you really did a very poor job explaining that. You're going to sell your wife. Eject.
I'm not selling, but never do that. I mean, my point is that there is no price. There's no price for love. Like, there is no price.
Eject.
Yeah, Jordan, why'd you have to chime in right there?
Eject.
About to change it.
Hey, you were digging yourself a deep enough hole.
Sometimes I just don't explain things well. I didn't explain that very well. Mm-hmm. The point is, if the Cardinals love Murray so much, there is no price. The Raiders could say, I'll give you all three of my first-round picks. No. I'll give you all three of my first-round picks on our first-round pick next year. No. I'll give you my entire draft. I'll go Mike Ditka for Ricky Williams. No. Like, we're not. We want him. We think that this kid is that good. So there is a... There are... we always say, there's a price for everything. There might not be a price for him if they... if they absolutely adore him and feel like he's, you know, he's a can't-miss quarterback and he's going to lead him to multiple Super Bowls and be the next great quarterback in the NFL, you're not going to sell him.
Yeah.
Like, all the five extra players, because when you add it up, it's inventory, it's players. I'll give you three first-round picks in this year and then one next year. That's four players. And you might say to yourself, okay, four players or Murray. I need Murray. I'd rather have Murray than one defensive lineman, one wide receiver, one offensive lineman, and one cornerback. I'd rather have Kyler Murray, and that's how you may look at it.
His play is forcing Torrey Lovello to play him. So with Christian Walker earning more and more opportunities by the game, what exactly are the Diamondbacks going to do with Jake Lamb? We talked with the manager about that today, and you'll hear what he had to say coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
D-backs Ticket Window Tuesday opens.
Back she goes, and it is gone!
Now.
Man, we're just giving away these tickets like it's going out of style here on the Burns and Gambo Show. All day Ticket Window Tuesday brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union. What number does your son wear for the Boston Red Sox?
Wow, we're thinking on the same line. I was going to give it to you. He's usually number three, but Easton stole it, so he's number two.
Caller number two, 602-260-9870. Mm-hmm. Caller number two. So Jeter's number on a Red Sox uniform. Boy, that's really just got to tear at your soul, doesn't it?
It just kills me.
602-260-9870. You're going to get two tickets to the D-backs home opener against the Boston Red Sox, the team for whom Gambo's son plays for
tonight
in Little League action.
Take on the Diamondbacks tonight.
You'll also get a copy of MLB The Show on PS4. If you're not a winner, listen one more hour for your next chance to win coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But caller number two, 602-260-9870. D-backs Padres tonight, 7:10 first pitch. Zach Greinke is going to get the start. He of the ERA right around 17. I'm sure he'll be looking.
I'm sure it'll come down tonight.
I'm sure it'll come down tonight, too. But Christian Walker, with a lefty on the hill for San Diego, is, as you would expect, over at first base. He's hitting fifth tonight. He had another double last night. His numbers have been extraordinary. Small sample size. We all get it. We all understand. It hasn't even been a week yet of Major League action. And yet, they're kind of. I was watching the broadcast last night, and Bob Brenly even said, "Man, he's forcing Torrey's hand on this." After he hit the double, Brenly said he is forcing Torrey Lovello's hand on this situation.
You have to play him. You know, if you don't play him, we're going to sit there like, "Why are you not playing him?" The guy's got four hits and six at bats. He's got six hits and 11 at bats. Four extra base hits, two home runs, two doubles. Like, he's, you got to play him while he's hot. Like, you don't want to sit this guy for 3 days and. Right now, ride the hot hand. Your offense is going to have to win games for you. The way the starting pitching was, your offense might have to win some games for you. And right now, with Adam Jones, the addition of Adam Jones in the lineup, Christian Walker is, you know, we wonder, where's the production going to come from? How are you going to replace what Goldie brought to the table? Well, you know, I'm not saying that Christian Walker is going to put up Paul Goldschmidt numbers, but he can put a dent in that. Right, if he plays every single day, I mean, I'd love to know what he could do with 400 at-bats. I asked Torrey Lovello that when we had him on earlier. What if he had 400 at-bats? He's never gotten consistent at-bats in the major leagues, ever. But we know he's got a lot of pop and he's got a lot of power and he's seeing the ball well right now. You got to keep running out there and keep playing him.
Here's what Torrey said in response to your question.
Very fair question. And those are the questions that I ask the staff all the time. We go over every scenario, and those are just great baseball conversations that we end up having, you know, during a game when it gets a little slow or inside of the walls of our clubhouse when we're just talking shop pre or post game. We love talking that type of baseball, and it's such a valid question because you just don't know. But there are many that feel that if he were given a lot of at-bats that he could have a very productive year.
So far, Christian Walker, as you mentioned, is 6-for-11. He's got two homers. He's got two doubles. He's got five RBIs. He's got a slugging percentage of 1273. He's got an on-base percentage of 583. Again, I know it's just... Man, he's had 11 at-bats, so it's not going to be like this forever. But for now, you don't have a choice. This is what you have to do, and that was something that Lovello, with us earlier today in our exclusive interview with him, alluded to
a little bit, and he may be a surprise to the rest of the league, but not to us. He's been doing this in the minor leagues for the past couple of years. There's been some spurts of it when he comes up to the big leagues, and when you have a young player that comes up and has to perform in order to stay, you feel like you got to go five for four, right? You get five hits and four at bats. It's impossible. And that's just the mentality that you feel when you are injected into a lineup and you know that you're here for a short period of time.
So because of that, Lamb is now seeing some ground balls over at third base at infield pregame.
You said it yesterday. I think you're right. That's the best lineup. Mick Wilma Flores, your utility player. Better suited to be a utility player, can play all over the place. Let Lamb play third base. Let Walker play first. Escobar play second. It's probably your best lineup unless Jake Lamb proves that he's just going to be a 220 hitter. Let him play. Because I think Lamb needs to play too. I mean, let Flores play the Descalso role. I could play a little second for you. I could play a little short. I could play a little third. I could pinch in the outfield.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got pop off the bat, off the bench. I mean, he's got home run power. I loved Walker hitting a 3-run pinch at homer the other day. I've always wanted that, and I've always felt that was something that they were missing, was power off the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, Flores doesn't have the power that Walker has, but he hits some home runs. He's a threat to hit a home run off the bench.
Yeah, we asked Torrey today if Jake Lamb is going to get some time at third base and how they're going to make this work.
I wanted to get him some reps and some practice reps and get him into a game after that. So yesterday he did start to take some ground balls, but that was part of the game plan. And yeah, we will have to be creative. Escobar is a really good player. He just unfortunately hasn't been swinging the bat that well. So we have to be as creative as possible if we want to get the right guys with the right matchups. But it's something that we're thinking about for sure. We want to get the best bats in combination with the best players, in combination with the best defenders, to help us win as many games as possible. It's a simple equation. And sometimes I will have Jake Lamb over at third base.
It sounds to me like it's something that we're going to see at some point very soon. And if it works, here's
I should have done that. Honestly, should have done it right from the beginning, probably. You know, Lamb, I mean, he's a third baseman. He's not a first baseman. Now, obviously, the Souza injury plays a factor.
That's the thing, right?
But, you know, I think, yeah, just because if Souza's in, well, then, you know, Marte, everything moves around a little bit. Then Marte's back in the infield. And so, yeah, I think this, but once the Souza injury happened, this lineup makes the most sense. Go with Lamb at third, Walker at first.
Escobar at second,
play Ahmed at short. And when you need to give a guy a breather, you've got Flores.
The thing about it is, we're what, 5 games into the season?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, we're 5 games into the season. Again,
and Alex Avila is hitting like .333.
It's very early.
Enjoy it while you can.
The thing about it is, the Diamondbacks' offense has been the least of their problems. They're averaging 6.4 runs per game so far through 5 games.
And they lost Goldschmidt and AJ and Descalso.
All the obsessing about Walker and Lamb and Flores and who's going to be here and who's going to be there, the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, the Arizona Diamondbacks have averaged more than enough runs to be a winning baseball team.
They didn't face Kershaw in that series against the Dodgers, so there's no Clayton Kershaw
right to
shut them down. But yeah, their offense did well. I mean, I like Adam Jones in the leadoff spot. There's a little bit of pop in the lineup. They can hit some home runs. We were all expecting guys, Robbie Ray's got to step up, and Souza's got to step up, and Lamb's got to step up. But there are always other players that you don't count on. Adam Jones with 3 home runs already for Adam Jones, and we just said Walker's got 4 extra base hits already in his time. So there are players. I mean, what I loved about last night's game was literally it was everybody. I mean, Peralta contributed. Avila contributed. Everybody was hitting. Everybody was getting on base. Everybody was knocking in runs. So I really, I thought the offense last night was really good and kind of restored order, because after that first series against the Dodgers and they lost 3 out of 4, there was a lot of concerns.
Yeah. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it's possible that either the Cardinals or the Raiders want to trade their current starting quarterback to get Kyler Murray. And if so, who is the more appealing trade option, Derek Carr or Josh Rosen? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show. 2024, we're getting the final four.
Yes.
2024.
Got it in 2017, getting it again.
You know what? 2024 sounds like a long ways away.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be here like that.
Tomorrow.
I'm serious. It's one of those things, that sounds so far off. It'll be here before you know it. We'll be hosting the Final Four again. I didn't go to the last one. I regret it.
You missed it. It was awesome.
I missed it. I need to go.
You're going to have to make sure you go to the next one.
I need to go to this one. This is that was a bucket list thing for me. I don't know why I didn't go to the last one.
Not a bucket list thing for me.
The final
I'd like to go to Cameron Indoor and watch a game.
Yeah, that's a good bucket list.
I'd like to see that.
That's a good bucket list thing. Carolina, Duke at Cameron Indoor. That would be that'd be something to see. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll of the question. Let's turn it back to Sarah Cazell.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's a mock draft that had the Knicks taking Zion Williamson number one and the Suns taking Ja Morant number two, which inspired the following question from Sarah.
Indeed. So if the Suns do get Ja Morant in this year's NBA draft, are you happy? Right now, 69% of our voters say very. I think that's the same total as our 230 update. 24% said nope, Zion is the dude. And only 7% said I would prefer to trade the pick.
I'd probably prefer to trade it.
Yeah, depending on what you can get. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you can get for that pick. I mean, how many, you know, would you like to get is you'd like to get a starting point guard. But how many really great starting point guards are available for, you know, for to trade for? I mean, be interested to see what happens with Kyrie. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Kevin Durant, Kemba Walker. But, I mean, it's not like, you know.
Even some of the point guards, like Malcolm Brogdon, what happens to him?
Yeah,
what happens to Rozier? What happens to, you know, some of the guys that we've talked about for so long.
And there's veterans out there that you could get. I mean, if you wanted to go get just a stopgap guy. Listen, if you get Ja Morant and you get a Ricky Rubio type just to come in for a year and be the mentor and run the offense for now, I mean, I'm in favor of that.
Yeah. So the Oakland Raiders, John Gruden, Mike Mayock, they had this big workout with Kyler Murray a couple of days ago. And we had on our radio station this morning on the Doug and Wolf show, a talk show host in Oklahoma City. We've had him on a few times around the pro day for Kyler Murray. And he said, man, they're giddy. The Raiders loved him. The Raiders were late getting on the field by 90 minutes because they were in there on the whiteboard talking strategy and drawing up plays with them. We're all presuming it went very well. Thing about it is there's only so much the Raiders can do about it. If the Cardinals have similar feelings for Kyler Murray,
yeah, then there's nothing you can
there's nothing you can do about it. If the Cardinals love him, then it does, you can have all the draft picks in the world and the Cardinals aren't going to move off that pick. We've asked the question, you know, do you love him enough to pass up, you know, three first rounders or a first rounder, you know, whatever package the Raiders could put together, is there a package that would entice you to move off that? But there's something else at play here, too, with this idea that the Raiders, and you've talked about this, could very well try to move up to number one if number one is for sale based off of Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
right?
It's the one team that I know for sure would be willing to move up to number one is the Raiders.
Okay.
I don't know of any other team.
We
yet.
Just don't know if number one is for sale or not.
I don't know
but
if it's
it
for
is,
sale, but I know
it sounds like they like Murray enough that they could make that move.
A lot more than Carr. A lot more. They're ready to move on from Carr. Murray, the Raiders to me, as I try to piece this stuff together little by little, that's the one team that I truly believe, based on information that I'm hearing, wants to move up. They want to move up. They would like to get Kyler Murray. So if the Cardinals are selling, the Raiders would be one of those teams that they can talk to about moving up to number one. Are there other teams that want to move up to number one? I'm sure there are. I don't know those teams yet, but I think you could put the Raiders in that column of teams that would like to move up for number one. I'm convinced that the Raiders want Murray.
The curious question would be then, if they do move up to number one, what would the marketplace be for Derek Carr? Because presumably you would look to trade him now if you're the Raiders.
You know, you brought up a point in show prep. The difference between like Carr and Rosen is you're getting a guy that's counting a lot, you know, on your cap. Like he got a 5-year, $125 million contract. You know, the difference with Rosen is you're getting a guy for $2 million a year. So you're able to, you know, have all these years to go out and do other things. But Carr's been a decent quarterback in the NFL. He's been good. He's not a top 10 quarterback. He's somewhere in that 10 to 20 range. He's not a bottom 10 quarterback. He's not a top 10 quarterback. He's in that middle range. What's a guy like that worth? He's thrown for 4,000 yards in a season. He's got a high completion percentage. Touchdown interception rate is ratio is actually very good. His touchdown interception ratio. He's a decent quarterback. He's good. But Kyler Murray is dynamic. And I think there are teams like the Raiders that are going to be completely enamored with Murray and will try to do whatever they can to get him. There probably will be a market for Carr. The question is, what can you get for him? Could you get more for Carr than what the Cardinals could get for Rosen? Maybe not.
And that's sort of the question. And in some ways, it's sort of, look, only one team can acquire Kyler Murray, and only one team can trade the quarterback they've got because they do acquire Kyler Murray. You know what I mean? I mean, only one team, either the Raiders or the Cardinals, are going to get him. And if they do, only one of those teams are going to trade the quarterback they have now. I would think the marketplace would be better for Carr. I would think, even with the contract, just because
he's a veteran and
you
he's proven.
Know he's decent.
Sure.
You know he's good.
I can win games with him.
Nobody knows anything about Josh Rosen at this point and his ability to be good.
Sometimes the unknown is likable. The unknown. Sometimes the unknown is better than the known.
Sometimes.
I know what Carr can do. He's okay.
He's a guy.
He's decent.
Yeah.
He's
a little bit better than a guy, but he's not that much better. He's a guy. He's a guy who plays quarterback, and he's an okay.
Can Rosen be a franchise quarterback? I mean, it's still the unknown. It's what people love about the NBA draft, the unknown. So sometimes the unknown is better than the known. The known is like, yeah, okay, I know what he is. He's good, not great, not a top 10 quarterback in this league. Never will be a top 10 quarterback in this league. There's a price for that. Rosen, there's always the belief that he could have this tremendous jump and be great. So people sometimes pay more for the unknown.
There's no doubt about it. John Gruden, on March 25th, so just about a week or so ago, is Derek Carr your quarterback?
Yeah, he's going to be our quarterback. I'm not going to address all the rumors. I could care less about the rumors. You know, he threw for 4,100 yards, threw for almost 70% in a very dire, tough circumstance. So I got a lot of confidence in Carr, what he can do with Antonio Brown, with Tyrell Williams, with Trent Brown coming in here to help our offensive line with a better defense. Yeah, I'm excited about Carr.
And yet, you worked on Kyler Murray yesterday, and you spent an extra 90 minutes with him on the whiteboard so he could draw up some plays for you. You're said to be giddy about it. And then, I meant to show you this. I'll tweet this out. Here's that picture I was talking about.
With the Kyler Murray hat.
All right, so there's Gruden, right? And he looks like he's standing at an airport or something, and he's got like a travel bag.
Okay.
And you can see a hat
hanging
from the bag.
Oh, it's green and
yellow. Okay, and then somebody zoomed into the picture of the hat, and it looks like a snapback Oakland A's green and yellow hat.
Did he ask the kid for an autograph?
And it looks like it's Kyler Murray's autograph on the bill of the cap.
Wow.
Somebody snapped this picture, I'm guessing, at the airport. If Sarah, if you want to retweet this, the user's name was at Eddie_Rado, R-A-D-O, at Eddie_Rado.
That's the guy who took the picture?
That's the guy who took the picture. And he
snapped a picture.
And he wrote, the Raiders may or may not draft Kyler Murray at number 4, but it looks like Chucky got himself an A's hat signed by the Heisman winner. And so
he's infatuated with Kyler Murray.
There's a picture of the hat right there.
Well, you got to get a Kyler Murray autograph and see you can compare it.
Yeah,
look, the one thing about Carr, he's got a great relationship with Antonio Brown.
Yes.
They just brought Antonio Brown. They need defense badly. At 4, they're very likely going to get one of the top 3 pass rushers in this draft. There's 3 really good ones. You know, Gruden's right. 4,049 yards, 68.9% completion percentage. You know, only 19 touchdown passes, but he didn't turn the ball over that much. Just 10 interceptions. It was the lowest since his career since 2016. He's not bad. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback.
No.
I mean, but if you kind of feel like Kyler, and that's the thing that I'm getting the feeling that there are teams out there that just think that Kyler Murray is going to be the next Tom Brady. I mean, this guy's going to win 5 Super Bowls. Like, he's going to be something. He's going to take this league by storm and be something that we've never seen before.
Yeah, it's the Arizona Cardinals. They're on the clock with the number 1 overall pick in this year's NFL draft. You could be there to see it yourself. Text the word clock to 62620 for your chance to win a trip for 2 to Nashville for the Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Experience. It's courtesy of Cherish All Natural 100% Cherry Juice. Again, text the word clock to 62620. The Coyotes have been looking up at Colorado in the playoff standings for a few weeks, but if things play out the right way tonight, that could all change. We're talking about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. I'm reading on Twitter that Bryce Harper just is getting the living dog boot out of him by the
Nationals.
I
totally expected that.
Just the living dog boot out of him.
You went to the Phillies. That's a division rival. Like and it's not like the Nationals didn't offer him a mega contract. He didn't. He turned it down.
Yeah.
He turned it down.
He's hated there.
He's hated. Absolutely.
Apparently, they put up some like tribute video when the booing was just so loud.
Hey, listen. I hope Scherzer beans him. Do you?
Oh, my God. How great would that be?
Oh, sorry. That one got away.
Yeah, oops. Sorry, Bryce.
I wanted to get that inside a little bit. I just got it too much inside. I would love to see him hit him. I would love it.
We'll see if that ends up coming to pass or not.
He's coming up in a second here.
Yeah, he's in the.
Come on, Max. Hit him with a pitch.
He's on deck right now. We'll see what happens to Bryce Harper in his first at bat back as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, don't pitch to him. Just. Hit by pitch, take your base.
So the Arizona Coyotes tonight are hosting the LA Kings. Three games left for the Coyotes, two of which are at home. Tonight against LA, and then the season finale at home against Winnipeg. Squeezed in between those two is a road game to Las Vegas. The Coyotes have 84 points. Last night, Colorado did get 1 point in their shootout loss.
Which, you never know how things are going to play out, but 2 points, I think, would have buried the Coyotes. I think 2 points and probably too much to overcome, at that point. I think that might have been too much to overcome if they got a regulation, win, an ROW win. I had the 1 point because the Coyotes are on the tiebreaker. So you've just got to go 3-0 and they've got to go 2-1. It's that simple. You've got to go 3-0, they've got to go 2-1. If you go 2-1, if you lose one of these games, then they've got to go 1-2. I mean, the math is pretty simple. You own the tiebreaker. They have to lose a game. If they win all three, they're in. They have to lose.
Yeah.
And they've got Edmonton tonight. And Edmonton, and I was looking at this, I think they're going to play the goalie who they played last night, Koskinen. He's been their top goalie. The problem with Koskinen and back-to-backs, he's gotten burned. He's had four back-to-backs, and he's given up 15 goals on 112 shots. Really bad. So when he plays on back-to-backs, because he played last night against Vegas, because they were still alive, now they're eliminated, he hasn't been good on the back-to-back. So we'll see if he starts tonight. But Edmonton is at Colorado, who played last night. Edmonton played last night. L.A. played last night. The Coyotes didn't.
The Coyotes were the only one, so there's an element of freshness that they're going to bring into their game that everybody else is not going to bring in. Edmonton, how hard do they play, knowing that their season just officially ended last night in terms of, and now they were a long shot to get in anyway, but it officially ended last night. I got to think that tonight, I'm going to break it down simple for me because you're the hockey savant, not me, but the Coyotes have 84 points. Colorado has 86 points. Tonight is the night both teams kind of get their cupcake, right? The one cupcake kind of game left on your schedule. And then after tonight, the other two games on both of their schedules are tough depending on how tough the opposition chooses to make it. And by that I mean, what is Vegas playing for when they play the Coyotes on Thursday? Are they playing all their guys? Are they playing
hard?
Not
resting.
Are they
resting? They should be resting.
Right? What is San Jose playing for when they play the Avalanche?
They don't have anything to play for. Winnipeg does, but San Jose doesn't, and neither does Vegas. Edmonton got eliminated last night. Connor McDavid spoke out. My frustration level is very high. They were eliminated from playoff contention. Second straight year they've missed the postseason. He's been fantastic, but he's very frustrated. After the loss last night, he talked about what they need to do going forward. He says, yeah, it sucks, obviously. It's not good enough all year. So now they're down. I mean, they're down. Are they going to be able to get back up now that they've been officially eliminated and they're stars frustrated and they're talking about getting a new GM? Do they go out? Because Colorado's got a lot to play for.
Edmonton's got nothing to
play
for.
And they got Landeskog back the other day, yeah. So that was great getting their captain back. Hey, listen, they were getting blown out in that first period against the Blues, and they were able to find a way to get a point. Now, the point only matters if the Coyotes go to overtime or a shootout and lose and only get 1 point.
Yeah, Rick Tocchet today, our focus is entirely on the LA Kings and nothing but the LA Kings.
Yeah, I think there's always urgency. You got to be careful. I don't want these guys, it's 1-0 after the first and we're squeezing our sticks. We got to make sure that we just stay with it. Keep doing the right things and, good things will happen. That's the attitude we have to have. You can't worry about anything else. Can't worry about who's playing who or what. You can only worry about the first period against the LA Kings.
We had Derek Stepan on the show yesterday and he admitted, look, if there were 10 games left, I would say we're not going to be scoreboard watching. There's three games left. We're going to be scoreboard watching. We're going to be checking out what everybody else is doing. He also raved about the guy who almost single-handedly has put the Coyotes in this position, that's Darcy Kuemper.
He's by far been our best player in the last 20 games or so. I think him and Oliver Ekman-Larsson have just actually carried the load big time for us. But, anytime you got your goaltender stopping everything he sees, you're going to give yourself a real good chance to crawl back into the thing.
The tiebreaker is pretty simple. First tiebreaker is games played. Don't worry about that. The second tiebreaker is what's called row, which is the regulation and overtime wins. And from that, that excludes games in a shootout. You mentioned that a second ago. Right now, Colorado and Arizona are tied in that category, too. The third tiebreaker is head-to-head points. And no matter what happens between now and the end of the season, the Coyotes will own that tiebreaker.
Do you know, by scoring those two goals late, and even though they lost in the shootout, because the next tiebreaker would have went to Colorado.
And that the next time was goal differential.
Which is plus 12 compared to minus 9.
Yeah, Colorado's a plus 12, Arizona's right. A minus 9.
So by getting to overtime, and even though they lost in the shootout, by just getting there and not losing in regulation, they now own the tiebreaker. If they would have lost in regulation, they were down 2-0 the entire game.
Then they would have lost the third tiebreaker.
Yep. And now no matter what, you'd have to win 3, and they would only be able to win 1. I mean, you didn't think about it at the time because you just didn't know how it was going to play out. But if they don't force overtime in that game, well, now they're not only just down 2 points, they're also down the tiebreaker. So they would have somehow had to make up, you know, you would have had to win all 3 and hope that they, you know, that they only win 1. So because a tiebreaker would have went to Edmonton for the goal differential.
Yeah.
So that's why that, you know, you look back at that game against Colorado and you're like, okay, they got a point. Colorado increased their lead, but it also gave the Coyotes the tiebreaker in case they, and there's a very strong possibility they could end up in a tie.
Yeah.
There's 3 games left.
There's 3 games left.
I mean, if the Coyotes win all 3 and Colorado goes 2-1, it's tied.
And if it's tied, and as long as the ROW column is the same, then the very next tiebreaker is the Coyotes, and nothing between now and the end of the season will change that.
Yeah, so you just want to win in regulation.
Yep.
You just, because if the Coyotes get a shootout win, so if they end up tied and the Coyotes get a shootout win instead of a regulation win or overtime win.
Yeah, they can get an overtime win too, a regulation right. or an overtime right. so shootout
if,
win.
So if any of these games they win and it goes to a shootout, they lose. That's not an ROW. That's not a regular. So then they would lose the tiebreaker as long as Colorado has won.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be, I mean, look, tonight is the cupcake. Don't choke on the cupcake. You take care of business against the cupcake, because they got a cupcake tonight too. And I got a feeling that Edmonton's just not going to be playing very hard tonight. I got a feeling that this one is set up on a tee for both of these teams. Don't be, and the LA Kings are brutally bad. You're absolutely right. Just don't let, you know, and I don't even think tonight is a trap game. You can't have a trap game when you've got 3 games left on the season.
Yeah, they got slaughtered 7-2. They're no good.
Just take care of business.
Yeah, they're a terrible team. This should be the gimme.
Cardinals are on the clock with the number 1 overall pick in this year's draft. You could be there. Text the word clock to 620-620 for your chance to win a trip for 2 to Nashville for the Cardinals on the clock. Ultimate draft experience is courtesy of Cherish. Cherish all natural 100% cherry juice. Everybody keeps talking about how much the Cardinals like Kyler Murray. There's another team that loves the Oklahoma quarterback. How much do they love him? How much do the Cardinals love him? We're talking about the price of love next on the Burns and Gambo Show.